From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. On Tuesday, a large-scale malware attack crippled companies and organizations in multiple countries and worried security researchers around the world. And if you're getting a little deja vu right now, well, I don't blame you. Just last month, a malicious hacking attack with a global reach stymied government agencies and businesses at a staggering scale. This week, it was Ukraine that seemed to suffer the worst of the attack at first, with numerous services and companies held ransom by software, which had many pointing fingers at Russia, where, for what it's worth, other companies reported downed systems. Here to help us understand more is Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos. Chester, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ben.
So let's start with a comparison, and we should say that you and I are talking while this story is still developing a little bit. How does this attack appear to be different than May's attack?
Well, it's a bit more sophisticated, and it has multiple different ways that it can spread within a victim's computer network, right? So when you look at a business with maybe hundreds or thousands of computers, there's not one thing that can be done to stop it from spreading once it's made it inside. So I think it's a little more difficult, more of a struggle for companies to defend themselves.
What is concerning here to you about the scale of the attack and where it might be coming from?
What's concerning most is the sophistication of the malware itself. The fact that it has multiple ways to spread within a network, and it appears to have the capability of stealing administrative passwords and this type of thing in order to aid itself in spreading. These are all things that have concerned the research community for some time that criminals might start doing, but we've been fortunate that they haven't. And now that the sort of the pattern or the template is out there for doing this type of an attack, there's reason to believe many other criminals will copy it.
Well, I know that back in May, the issue seemed to be related to Microsoft, software insecurity that Microsoft had patched, but a lot of people hadn't updated their systems. What is the solve here in this case, Chester? Update your software? Stop putting so many systems online? What?
This attack uses that same flaw that the May attack used as well. But the problem in this case is with the May attack, by fixing that bug, you protected that computer from ever becoming affected by the attack. Whereas in this case, any one computer within your network that didn't get the fix might be then used to as a jumping off point to attack the rest of them, even if they have been fixed. So that's why I think enterprises are very concerned, because when you consider that you may have 10,000 computers at a big company, you have to make sure all of them have been fixed. And because it can spread via other methods, even if they've been fixed, they can still be affected.
Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos. Chester, thank you as always.
Thanks, Ben.
Ten years ago this week, arguably the biggest personal tech device of all time shipped out, the iPhone. And since I'm pretty sure there is plenty being said this week about how it was the greatest and most unique invention of all time, I'm not going to bore you with the fandom. And in fact, I'll do you one better. I got a guy on the line who says that the iPhone, iconic, society-disrupting gadget that it is not all that original. Paul Kodrowski of SK Ventures, good to chat. You say that a lot about the iPhone wasn't new.
Right. So the question then you obviously ask people is, so what was so great about it? What was, quote, invented, end quote? And so people will all have their own examples, like the blind man touching the elephant. They'll say, well, it was the touchable user interface, that touchable screen. Well, Palm and Microsoft both had that before Apple did, and similarly with a large screen. And you can go on down the list of the things that most people will point to immediately. And it turns out, of course, that almost all of those were elsewhere before they were on the iPhone.
The only invention was that it seemed to be the first of something. Somehow it was invented in our own minds that it was totally brand new and that we all needed it.
Right. So this is what's interesting. Being too early in a business is indistinguishable from being wrong. So you can be right and have a fantastically important device, but if you're too soon, it really doesn't matter because the other pieces weren't in place yet. The screens, for example, on the old Palm Pilot, which was one of the first touchscreens, were plastic, weren't particularly high quality in terms of resolution. You couldn't have played a YouTube video on them. The average person didn't really care that they could now, touch their grocery list with a stylus as opposed to watching a YouTube video.
Right. And this is why I suppose copying is actually sometimes a really good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of those sort of bizarre things. It's copying kind of has this, you know, this horrible reputation that, oh, that was just copied. It was terrible. And it's not at all the case that, Steve Jobs was fond of saying that, you know, great artists copy. The really important thing to do, if you can, is to steal, really make it your own, right? Good artists copy, great artists steal. And so he proudly held this up. And there's long examples in Apple's history, but in Microsoft's history, in Cisco's history, in every company you can point to in technology, they've all done a fantastic job of finding some nascent pieces of technology, knitting them together in some fashion, and getting them on the market at the right time to the right people.
Do you think without Steve Jobs, we would have smartphones today?
Oh, absolutely. There was a certain inevitability to it. All the pieces were coming together. Would it have been as nice? Would it have been as, have had a slick of a user interface? Probably not. These are the things that Apple does really well. But there was an inevitability to it in the same way there's inevitability to anything whenever you've got this powerful evolutionary force working its way through, you know, an economy.
Paul Kudrowski of SK Ventures. Paul, always nice to chat with you.
You too, Ben.
Hey, by the way, it's not Silicon Valley time yet, but I did want to leave you with a few numbers. $2.7 billion, yes, it is what the EU has fined Google for giving its price comparison shopping service preferential treatment in search results. Worth noting that this is not as big a fine as it could have been, according to people watching this, but some are saying that it could set a precedent for other big tech companies to be punished by the EU's regulatory body for anti-competitive behavior. Think Facebook. And while we are thinking Facebook, 2 billion users, the company announced this week that it hit that number, which means it has doubled its users since 2012. And they say Amazon is the tech octopus enveloping the world. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.